Hi, everybody. I just love you guys. Yeah, I miss you when I'm not here. I hope you miss me. If you don't tell me. I don't know about you, but sometimes we just never give God enough thanks for the life that we have. And I believe the real true way to a honest-to-goodness relationship with the Lord, just be forever grateful. Be forever thankful for that, what you have. Because you could begin to just weigh in on all this stuff. The Bible says that we really, and this is out of Philippians, but we are to acknowledge every good thing that is in us. Every good thing. And if we'll spend time acknowledging every good thing that is in us, that God's put in there, then you won't allow stuff out here to bother you. And so you can trust God. And so as you begin to acknowledge, you say, God, thank you that you've made me and you've created me to be just like you. Amen. When people ask me, I've had people literally accuse me of acting like God. I said, who doesn't want to act like their dad? Now, there's some dads you don't want to, you don't want to parrot. My dad might have been one of those because all of his life he was addicted to a drug. And so you don't really get out of them what probably you should have gotten out of them. But that doesn't negate the fact that God wasn't still there and willing to give you everything that he has. And he really made that known by giving us his only begotten son. Everything that's wrapped up in God was wrapped up in Jesus. And when that gift was given to us, God says, here is my gift to you so that you might have life and that you might have it more abundant. And God never wants us to be a people that come behind in any good thing. And good things are things that come from him, because every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Amen. Every good and perfect gift. So let's make sure that we're acknowledging every good thing that is in us. Because if you begin to just weigh in on the stuff that's not happening or stuff you want to happen that's just been a little bit, boy, if you just weigh in on the negative, you're going to become a negative person. Amen. You're not going to be happy like me. Somebody could at least said amen out loud when I said that. You're going to make me cry. I'm going to untuck my shirt so I can clean my glasses. I got a smudge on them. It drives me bananas. How's everybody doing? I still have a smudge. Anybody have a glass cleaner? Like one of those little paper needles? Or let me try that. Good thing we're not paying for live air time. Oh, by the way, those of you watching by live stream, welcome. This is the anointed part where I show you how to clean your glasses. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'll give that back to you after church. Tuck my shirt back in. Okay, let's start over. Hi, everybody. How you doing? Now that I can see everybody. I'm always reminded, and this is just my life, and I tease you a little bit, but my life is just this. I'm really trying to become everything that God created me to be. And some days I fall short in that, and we all do. But the thing about it is, if we keep our eyes on him, we go after him, he is a God that's more than enough. And he is a really he forgives stuff. Aren't you glad? And when God forgives, he forgets. Amen? Amen. So when you come into the kingdom of God, your whole past is erased. And if you're going to remind God of all the bad stuff, he's going to look at you and say, I don't remember that. If you remind him of past sins, he's going to say, I don't remember that. Because the Bible says our sins wash into the sea of forgetfulness. And as far as the east is from the west, God says, so have I removed your sin far from you. So when you come into the kingdom of God, you come in sin free. That messes with people's minds. Now, you still have a mind that needs to be renewed. You still have a physical body that needs to be trained. But the spirit man, you're a three-part being. The spirit man that lives on the inside of you, and it is called a spirit man in the Bible, ladies, I'm sorry. But the spirit man is the one that's created instantly in the image of God. And so many times Christians are judged by what happens on the outside, but on the inside, you're pure as gold. You're pure as the Holy Spirit. Well, that's good, Pastor West. You need to come back more often. Well, by the way, he's not here right now, but I listened to Pastor Tim's messages, and I'm telling you, if I lived in Hayes, I'd go to his church. It is good. He's doing a great job. Got an anointing on him, and you guys need to be praying for him, believing God, because we're making a transition. You know that's coming up. And right now, without change again, but it's going to be the next to the last Sunday in November, we make the official transition. Is that right, Chris? I've gotten it wrong three times. No, it's moved to November. Now, we will officially transition him in a service, the third November service. He's kind of transitioning that way anyhow. Amen. And a lot of it depends upon, there's people that say, well, I'm not going to go to church there because Pastor West is not going to be there anymore. That's not a real good reason not to go anywhere. You want to go there because the Holy Spirit told you to go there. I'm in an organization called Faith Christian Fellowship, been in it since 1991. I've been actively involved in it a lot, most of those years. Recently, I've kind of pulled away from the leadership part. But one of the things that happened when our head guy passed away and left, and his wife took over the mantle of FCF, Miss Harrison, there were a lot of men that I knew that said, the reason I joined this organization was because of Pastor Buddy. And I think he had something to do with me joining that organization. But I told my friends, good friends, they're still good friends, but that are no longer FCF. I told them, I said, well, the difference between you and me, I guess, is that the Holy Spirit told me to be here. And I don't leave because Pastor Buddy has stepped into heaven. If the Lord tells me to leave, see, so many people miss it in church. We think, well, we're just going to shop around until we find the church we want. How about you shop around until you find the church that the Lord wants for you? And if you found it, then dig in and flourish there. You know, blossom where you're planted. How many of you want me to leave now? I'm not going to. I'm going to finish this message. But I'm leading up to the message because the message is going to be really, really, really good. We're going to talk about being all in for God. Everybody say all in. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians don't live that way. But we're going to, aren't we? Amen. Everybody's going to be all in. But before we get into the message, I want to punish you with a couple of jokes. In a nice way. Two women were in a bus fighting bitterly over the last available seat. The conductor had already tried unsuccessfully to intervene when the bus driver shouted to the conductor, "Let the ugly one take the seat." Both women stood for the rest of the journey. If you need that explained to you, I'll talk to you later. A husband notices his wife's hearing is deteriorating and decides to visit her doctor for advice. I can't speak to my wife directly as she might find it offensive given our old age, he says to the doc. There's a simple trick you can try to do to determine her hearing, explains the doctor. Simply ask her a question at a distance, and if she doesn't hear you, move slightly closer and ask again until she does. That night, the husband arrives home and sees his wife in the kitchen cooking. He thinks to himself, what a perfect opportunity to test her hearing. He stands in the doorway of the kitchen and promptly asks, "What's for dinner, honey?" No answer. He moves closer. "What's for dinner, honey?" Still no answer. He moves even closer. "What's for dinner, honey?" Still his wife doesn't answer. He now sees how serious his problem is. At this point, standing right next to his wife, he says, "What's for dinner, honey?" And she, at this point, looked at him and says, "For the fourth time, chicken." Oh, that is so good. "For the fourth time, chicken." And if you want the jokes to be better than that, pray. I have a given thought to the fact that, and you know, most of the time, if we're real honest with our lives, we learn to judge our own selves. Judge ourselves before we judge others. You know, you judge us. You know, we consider people's splinter in their eye sometimes when, as the Bible says, when we've got a beam in ours. And there is a way to judge things. And it's not a legalistic judgment. If you judge things by and according to the Word of God. The Word of God is our proof. That's how you judge things. That's how you judge a believer's life. You can look and say, well, there's people say, well, I'm a believer, but you know, there's nothing that they're living that looks like a believer. There's nothing that they're saying that sounds like a believer. And we want to be people who live, act, and walk as best we can like the Lord walked. And allow Him to be in our steps. And that He orders our steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And we want that for every facet of our life. And I don't know about you, but remembering back often, I remember back at that point in my life where I really did give the Lord my life. And I haven't always done it real effectually, but I've done pretty good. I'm pretty much convinced I may not even be alive had I not made that choice back in March of 1973. I can remember that far back, and I can remember the moment I did it. I can remember the night I opened my heart to the Lord and how it did something on the inside of me. And that has never left. And sometimes I ignore that, but not as often as I used to. And the thing of it is, we learn to become all in. And I tell people all the time, listen, people ask me all the time about different things they're going through. I can tell you, and my kids would tell you, I used to tell them, they would come to me with a promise that, you know, what you need to do is just get closer to Jesus. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except by Him. So every step of your life, every decision of your life should be you getting closer to Jesus, because He's the one that's going to reveal Himself to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come to enter our lives to reveal Jesus unto us, to help us be pointed to Him on a regular basis. Can you say amen? And so it's something that sometimes we lose sight of as believers. But I believe we ought to be people that are making a stand for the Lord publicly, not just in our private life, but publicly. Wherever we go, we talk about the goodness of God and how often that sometimes people miss it. Well, if I come to God, then I'm going to have to stop doing a lot of different things. I'm telling you, those things that you think you'll miss, you'll never miss them. Amen. There's a lot of people think, if I come to God, I'm going to have to be poor the rest of my life. Well, that doctrine's right out of the pit of hell. And I know churches where the leadership take poverty vows, and I think that's about the stupidest thing to do, because one of the things Jesus died for, He died, took upon Himself our poverty so that we could take upon Him ourselves His riches. And that's material wealth. How many know God wants you to be rich? This doesn't go over big in religious churches, but how many even know that I'm not too religious? God wants you to be rich. Why? So that you can have to give to every good work and charitable donation. He wants you to be a giver. And to give, you got to have it to give. That's why it's more blessed to give than receive. You got it to give. Amen. Pastor West, this is really good, isn't it? Yeah, keep it up, buddy. You're doing good. Listen, you're one decision away from turning your life around into the best life you've ever had. I don't care where you are in the Lord. You're just one decision away. It's not going to help me. Yeah, it'd help everybody. I don't care how old you are. Don't care how young you are. You're one decision away. If you just say, God, You've got my life, and I'm going to give You everything I got. I'm telling you, God is going to turn your life around, even if you're doing pretty good. Because there's no limit in Him. He is an unlimited God. He's well able to keep that which we will commit to Him. Here we go. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, we'll begin there. Father, I bless You today, and I thank You for Your Holy Spirit that is here to teach us, lead us into all truth, and guide us simply because of Your Word. And God, I thank You for that. And Lord, I call upon the greater One who indwells me, that He might rise up big within me and speak through my lips and the minds, the thoughts that come into mind that come from You, Lord, that I speak those out fluently. And Lord, that we are all helped in coming closer to You, and we give You honor. We give You praise in Jesus' name, and all the agree with that said. Amen. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. How many of the believers? all of them, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together. I'm amazed at how many times you keep saying all. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes of the Lord's for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added. Each day, everybody say each day. So there are some things that you and I can do, that the body of Christ can do, that if we do them the way God wants us to, then it shouldn't be hard. It makes sense that we should expect God to add to our church daily. Well, Pastor Wes, I don't have time for that. Well, you've got time for the wrong thing then. Because God wants us to have time for His business. And when we have time for His business, He'll let us enjoy some of our business. But we want to be locked in Him. King James says in Acts 2:42, when I read it earlier, it was New Living Translation, all believers devoted themselves. King James says, they continued steadfastly in the Apostles' Creed, an Apostles' Doctrine, and fellowship. That simply means that they received it, they retained it, and they acted upon its principles. When you are devoted to God, when you are all in with God, you receive His Word, you retain His Word, and you act on His Word. You're all in. I receive it. I retain it. I am all in. I'm acting on it. How many know sometimes you can be, if you're like me, sometimes you can be a cafeteria type, smorgasbord, buffet type Christian. I'll take a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Tithing, not so much of that. And let's go. I mean, we pick and choose sometimes the stuff we want. When you're all in, you just simply do what God wants you to do. And you do it with a happy heart. God says in His Word in Deuteronomy, says that sometimes the people literally step into a curse because they didn't serve God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Serve the Lord God with joyfulness and gladness for the abundance of all things. That's in Deuteronomy 28, I believe. Serve the Lord God with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And most people are spending all the time looking at their lack, and boy, that'd just be misguided treatment in everything you do. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They received it. They retained. That's why sometimes here in church, I can have people go out of here and they'll come by and say, Pastor, thank you. I needed that. And there's other people looking at me. I get the look. Now, none of you have ever done this, but I get this look. If there's a way I could get by him without shaking his hand. But do you make a determination when you come to church that you're going to receive the word, that you're going to retain the word, and that you're going to act on it? It's not my word. If it's the Lord's word, then don't you think that we have a responsibility to respond to it? And you respond to it by faith. That's the way you work. You receive the word, you retain the word, and you act on it. That's a person that's devoted. That doesn't mean that you're perfect, that you won't miss it once in a while. It just means that you're on your way. The journey is going to be a good journey. I mean, you know, sometimes journeys can be a little bit rocky, but sometimes it's worth the trip. I just got back from California and went to Monterey with, by the way, my wife Debbie says to say hi to everybody. We're trying to figure out a way to get her back here. We're kind of busy. But we took a trip. It's called the Pebble Beach Drive. It's a 17-mile drive. It's a loop that goes by the Pacific coast for about half of that. And you see the Pacific Ocean coming in and splashing up against the rocky shores of California. It's just an incredible sight. And I'm thinking, where else would you want to be? How could you look at that and think there's not a God? Creation speaks for itself. We are to be wise enough to understand that. But the thing that happens is we want to live based upon the Word of God, and the Word of God will always confirm itself. In other words, when the Word is spoken, it's confirmed by God in one way or the other. God doesn't have a problem confirming His Word. He doesn't have a problem showing up and confirming His Word in your life. He loves proving Himself strong on your behalf. He's a good God, but we need to get to know Him. God's looking for those people who are all in. Everybody say all in. Amen. And your children, listen, you know, parents, you need to understand this. Your children are watching you. They're trying to decide whether or not you really mean and you're serious about your walk with God. They watch. And sometimes they won't always follow you. But the Bible says, if you raise your child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they grow old, they will not depart from it. That's a promise to you. We should hold on to that. We don't always raise our kids perfectly, but I'm telling you, if you try to give them the best example you could, walking with God, loving God, you're going to be in a good place. But when we come into fellowship, 1 John 1:7 says this. This is out of the Passion Translation. But if we keep living in the pure light that surrounds Him, Jesus, we share unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. How much sin? How many of you know in the world you can get contaminated sometimes? It just seems like it runs rampant out there. But the fact remains is, when we come together on a regular basis, there is a spiritual cleansing that takes place by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I like this commentary about fellowship. Those who are deeply experienced in divine things converse with God and God with them. Let me read that again. Those who are deeply experienced in divine things converse with God and God with them. I have literally in my lifetime gone into places where I were in Hays, Kansas, even back when there was a, I think it was third floor Hadley, where it was a mental health floor where they put people in that were a little bit loose and their mind had gone on them. Somebody invited me to go up to see one of their relatives. And so I said, well, I'd love to go up. I walked up there with my Bible, and honest to goodness, they told me I couldn't go in there with my Bible. And I said, why not? I said, because everybody's in here because they said God told them to do what they did. The majority of them. Holy mackerel. I said, well, there was a God that told them, but it was a little G God. And they said, well, you can't go in there with your Bible. I said, that's all right, because I got something. I didn't tell them that, but I'm thinking, I got something in here. So I went in there, I started talking to the guy that I went in to see, and I think it was a guy, it's been so long ago. I've been in the ministry for a few years, so sometimes my stories get interlaced with other stories. I try to keep them separate, but the Holy Spirit has to help me with that. But I went in there and I started talking to this guy about what Scripture said about having a sound mind. And that's one of the things that Jesus promises you as a believer, that you will have a sound mind. That means it's not going nuts on you. And I sat there and shared with him. And as I began to share with him, the people that were up there on that floor, it was kind of in a open space. And they were all just kind of walking around. And pretty soon they started congregating over there. And before I got done, there was about 8 or 9 people standing there listening to me. And the nurse that told me not to bring my Bible was going, I've gone into that. And I've gone into places and prayed for a girl that was dying, had overdosed, a junior high girl. And went in there and knocked on the door and they let me into the ICU room where they were. They're pumping her stomach, trying to save her. And so I went down to the foot of her bed and I just grabbed her toes under covered by the sheet. And the nurse says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm laying hands on her." And I'm. What's she going to say? You can't do that? Well, and so then I started praying in tongues. There's still a lot of people have a problem with praying in tongues. I've seen too many really wonderful results of praying in my prayer language. So I prayed there for probably 15 minutes, just quietly in my prayer language. And then I just felt a release and walked out of there. And they really hadn't given her much hope because they said that from the time she took the overdose to the time they found her had so much time had elapsed and a lot of it had been absorbed into her system. And it's hard to get that washed out of them. And even if they're trying to wash their stomach with some type of carbon and charcoal and clean charcoal, but they didn't think she was going to live. And this couple had never really been to our church, but they knew there was a lady in our church who did go to our church, and she called me and she's going to ask me if I'd go down. And so I did. And so, long story short, I went in, prayed, left 11:30. I got a call from the lady that went to our church, who no longer goes to our church, and she witnessed that miracle. And she said, "Pastor, at 11:30, just a little while ago, that young girl sat up in bed totally well." I said, "Well, thank you, Lord." Now, I wish it happened that way every time. But even people have miracles like that. And see, and that's why you have to stay all in with God, because the enemy doesn't stop. Several years later, that young girl still took her life because the parents wouldn't get her in church, wouldn't get her. I'm a real advocate of going to church. You say, "Well, you pastor." Well, yeah, but I went to church before I pastored. I love going to church. I love seeing families bring the church. So I'm just saying it's worth getting your kids in church. Amen. That's good preaching. But anyhow, you and I often are challenged with this. How all in am I going to be in this? Is it something? I'm not calling you. Listen, you say, "Well, Pastor, you're called into pastoral ministry." We're all called into the ministry of reconciliation. All of us are called into a ministry. We have ministry that God's given us. He wants us to come in all in. Everybody say all in. And I'm looking through and doing a little study and getting ready for this, and I find a commentary that talks about the apostles that were there when Jesus died and how those men watched Jesus die, saw him crucified, saw him put into a tomb, and saw him raised up 3 days later. And, I mean, those people, those guys went all in. And the reason you know they went all in is this. In A.D. 44, that's just after the birth of Jesus, Herod ordered that James the Greater be thrust through with a sword, first of the apostles to be martyred. The bloodbath began. Doubting Thomas was pierced with a pine spear, tortured with red-hot plates, and burned alive in India. In A.D. 54, 54 years after the death of Jesus, or at the birth of Christ, the proconsul of Hierapolis had Philip tortured and crucified because his wife converted to Christianity while listening to Philip preach. Philip continued to preach while on the cross. These guys were tough cookies. You're not going to shut a person's mouth that's all in. Matthew was stabbed in the back in Ethiopia and died. Bartholomew was flogged to death in Armenia. James the Just was thrown off the southeast pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem. After surviving the 100-foot fall, he was clubbed to death by a mob. Simon the Zealot was crucified by a governor of Syria in A.D. 74. Judas Thaddeus was beaten to death with sticks in Mesopotamia. The devil is ruthless, but these guys, they're just laying it down. They're all in. Matthias, who replaced Judas Iscariot, was stoned to death and then beheaded. And Peter was crucified upside down at his own request. Now, history says this, and it's not in the Bible, but he said, "I'm not worthy to be crucified the way my master was." And they crucified him upside down. History says that. John the Beloved is the only disciple to die of natural causes, but that's only because he survived his own execution. When a cauldron of boiling oil didn't take him out, John was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. John returned to Ephesus, where he wrote three epistles and died of natural causes about 100 years after the birth of Christ. Somewhere along the line, those men made a decision to be all in for Christ. Now, I'm not asking you to go out and give your physical life for Jesus. He's already done that for us. But I am asking you if you would consider, preferably consider, being all in for him. Because it takes a commitment, and it really does. Well, Pastor, I'll be glad to be all in for Jesus as long as everything goes good. Well, you might as well not get in then, because you're going to be challenged. There's going to be battles. But the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Somewhere along the line, these disciples understood that it was time to become all in. Luke 29, or Luke 9, verses 23 through 24. 23, take up your cross daily and follow me. And then we go on to verse 24. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. The best thing you can do is give your life up to the Lord. Yeah, I don't want to be one of those religious people. What is it? Religious people. Matter of fact, there's only one religion that's pure and honorable before God, and that's taking care of widows and orphans. God okays that, but God didn't call us to be religious people. He called us to be saints of God, powerhouses for God. He called us to be all in for him. He called us to do simply what he's called us to do. And when we take up our cross daily, see, that's one thing that we forget about. With Jesus went to the cross so that we wouldn't have to. When he hung on the cross, we hung there with him. When they drove those nails in his hands and in his feet, pierced his side, we were pierced with him. When he died and went to hell, we went to hell with him. When he was resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father, we were made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We went there with him. We've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's our position right now. You're not just a sinner that got saved by grace. You were a sinner. Now, bless God, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can stand before God without a sense of shame, guilt, or condemnation. You can go right to God and go right into the throne room of God, and God's not going to kick you out. He's going to receive you fully because of the blood of Jesus that he sees you through. What does it mean when you take up your cross daily? Remember what Jesus prayed? This is the Son of God manifest. He was God in the flesh. But when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, facing crucifixion, he knew what was coming. He said, Lord, if it be at all possible. He said, Father, if it be at all possible, would you let this cup pass from me? And then he went on and said one other thing. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. What is the cross daily for us? It's accepting to do the will of God for that day. Sufficient for today are the challenges thereof. We're all looking to our future. We're looking to our past. And sometimes we don't live in our past. We don't live in our future. We're living right now. Well, as soon as everything gets hunky-dory, Pastor Wes, I'll come into the kingdom of God and I'll give God all my life. That's the worst attitude ever. Because it's never going to become hunky-dory. Because there's an enemy. And he will deceive you all the way into the very pit of hell. Nobody wants to go there, believe me. Every day we choose. We have a right to choose. Have a right to choose life. Every day. That's what bearing your cross is. What's the will of God? You have a choice. God doesn't make you do his will. He gives you a choice. Well, I'm hoping this cup will pass from me. Well, nevertheless, you say, God, not my will, but yours. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, a year ago this time, if you would have told me that I would be married, moved, and live in a different life, so to speak, I would say that's never going to happen, because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm at the age, God's not going to move me. I told people that. I've been here long enough. If God was going to move me, he would have done it already. And then the Lord sweetened the pot with Debbie. He said, if you will follow me, he didn't even say that. But I remember some things that I talked to the Lord about. And I saw God begin to do things in my life that I didn't, I thought, wow, that's, the timing's different, but that's okay. When you're doing what God wants you to do, it's a lot more rewarding. Amen. So what we have to do is make the decision, am I going to live for God today? I can't live in my past. I've got some wonderful stories from the past. I've got some wonderful vision into my future. But here I am right here today, July 25th, 2021. And I like living for God, and I know you do too. But in this day and age, so many people are being duped. I'm going to get into, because you know me, I love tying politics and religion and the Word of God together. Because we left it out of the church way too long. But I've literally had people leave this church because I come against sin. And they got mad at me because I come against sin. How dare you say that about? Listen, I'm not, God loves sinners. I love sinners. But I also know that, like, God knows, and He knows much better than I do, but I know what sin will do to people. It will destroy their lives. And I heard this the other day, and I believe this is true, and this is on somebody I trust emphatically with the Word of God, but they simply said this, and I believe this, just watching what's happening, that the church the Antichrist is coming back to rule over is a church made up of former believers that bit into sin and begin to embrace sin and say it's okay to be that way. He's coming back for a church that's full of sin. This ain't one of them. Pastor Wes, you're awesome. I know. Thank you. That's me. Talk about every good thing that's within me. Isn't it kind of like time to ante up? Put your life. Today, behold, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not yesterday, today. It's time to go all in. If Jesus is not Lord, then He's not Lord at all. Either He's Lord or He isn't. How many of you think it's good to know that the Lord is on your side? He's simply saying, listen, coming to God is a great thing. He's saying, I'll take the blame for everything you did wrong and give you the credit for everything I did right. I'll take the blame for everything you did wrong and I'll give you the credit for everything I did right. What an exchange. Thank you, Lord. We often find ourselves wanting everything God has for us and not willing to give up anything. And I'm not saying you have to give up anything, but some things are worth giving up so you can have more of the Lord. Y'all okay with this? Smile at me. Thank you. I remember one time listening to a guy. And I won't get there. Take me off track of where we're going, but sometimes we refuse to buy in and simply because we're afraid of what we might lose. And I'm telling you, you always gain going with God. Godliness is profitable unto all things. You always gain. You'll never come behind a good thing. And the enemy would like you to think so. He wants you to think, boy, if you go with God, your life's going to be miserable. Hey, hot dog, it's already miserable. I'm amazed he tells that to people that their lives are so messed up, they don't know where they're going. Well, you know, why would I want to go with God? Because He'll make your life better. He'll take you from where you are and just make it better. And all the grief that said, give you a great example from the Word of God. And it has to do with a rich young ruler. And he came to Jesus in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus was starting out on His way to Jerusalem, a man came, the young man came running to Him, knelt down and asked, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. And listen to what this young man says. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. If he hadn't done this, what he just said he'd done since he was a young boy, Jesus would have corrected him and said, no, you haven't. This guy had lived a good, honorable, holy, religious life. Jesus said and reminded him. He said, you don't cheat, you don't steal, you don't lie against people. And the man said, I've obeyed those since I was a young man. And looking at the man, I love this part, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Jesus looked at him because he loved him. And then Jesus tells him one thing. Everybody say one thing. There is still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. As this man's face fell, he went away very sad, and he had many possessions. Now, here's the thing with this man, this young man. And there are some that think this young man later on was the Bartholomew that we talked about that got martyred a while ago. There's historians that think that. But at this moment, the Lord came and said, listen, for today, there's one thing you lack. And see, some guys will take this and say, you know, if we're really going to follow God, we got to follow this example. We got to go walk out of this door, sell everything we have, and give it away. Now, if the Lord tells you to do that, help yourself. But he's not telling everybody to do that. He's telling this rich young ruler. But there may be one thing in your life that's hindering your walk with him, hindering your ability to be all in. There may be one thing. If it were just one thing, boy, we're one decision away from having a good life. But God just does it one thing at a time. And he told that young man, you lack one thing. And I believe what Jesus offered that man was an apostleship. I believe Jesus was offering him an opportunity to walk with him. And at that moment, he turned it down. Now, whether it is, history does say that he very well was the man that we call Bartholomew that became an apostle that walked with Jesus. Amen. One thing, sell everything you have. He realized that his possessions meant more to him than walking with the Lord. At least he was honest. Here comes the offering plate, Bertha. Cover up your pockets. God wants more than your money. And that's not really living a holy, truly devoted life. I think every believer ought to be a giver. I think every believer ought to be a prayer. I think every believer ought to be a consistent church goer. I believe we ought to do all those things. But more than anything else, God wants us to be all in with him. He wants us to walk with him. We're all in Christians. We don't back off for anybody. I remember when I first got into the kingdom of God, I still very rarely, but if I happen to be outside on a really, really hot day doing something, I'm sweating, every now and then the thought of an ice cold beer will come through my head and I will start salivating. I thought, good Lord, where does that come from? But I remember the time that the Lord spoke to me and said, now listen, I think you can take a drink and not go to hell. I think you can smoke a cigarette and not go to hell. Like one guy said, when you smoke a cigarette though, you smell like you've been there. And anyhow, but there's more to life, and those are things that God can begin to wash out of you. And the reason you want to maybe not drink is because alcohol messes with your brain cells. Has a way of diminishing the number of brain cells. So, you know, most of us can't afford to lose too many. But just doing what God says do, that's what you do. And I remember when he told me, he said, your drinking days are over. So, okay, good. Now, does that make me a better Christian? It just makes me a bit more obedient. My walk comes from doing what the Lord says. Either the Lord, if he's not Lord in your life, then in any area of your life, he's really not Lord of all. And we all want that for our lives. Can't you say amen? So when Jesus says, come follow me, he means burn your bridges. And those of you that like history, you'll like this, but there's a Spanish explorer named Cortez that sailed from Spain and he ended up in South America and going into the New World. And he is following two expeditions that didn't make it. Most of them died and failed to do what the Spanish king wanted them to do. But Cortez got there. And let me read to you what he arrived with. There was an entourage of 11 ships, 13 horses, 110 sailors, 553 soldiers. And with that group of people, Cortez captured a large segment of South America. But one of the things he did when he got there, they got all that stuff ashore. All the supplies, all the soldiers, all the sailors. Cortez gave an order. Burn the ships. Burn the ships. Well, if you do that, then we don't have a way back. Exactly. So we're going to make this work. There's some of us that need to burn ships of past failure. We keep sailing that boat for whatever reason. And there's some of us that keep sailing on good success. You can't keep on going that way. Or past success. There's some of us that need to burn the ship of bad habits, whatever they may be. There may be some of us that need to burn the ship of my old way of life. Please, and I'm not after anybody in particular. I'm not thinking of anybody in here. I'm really, the only one that probably does this is Brandon, and he's okay with this. It's not true. But they have the pros know enough to know that when you say to people, that's just the way I am, learn to deal with it, you become a very selfish person. Because I got news for you. People that say that, not many people like you. Because sometimes God wants you to change that one thing. Your attitude stinks. And if it's God saying it, it's going to be King James, of course. He's going to say, your attitude stinketh. But when we embrace a bad behavior and say, well, just learn to deal with it to people. Listen, I'm telling you, God wants you to deal with it. He doesn't love you any less, but just deal with it. And Cortez literally made a decision that most people are in the body of Christ are not willing to make. Why don't you burn the ships that are keeping you from sailing into God's hand and sailing into his presence? Well, I might have to give that up. Be willing to burn that thing. You understand what I'm saying? That's learning to be all in. In 1 Kings 19, and if you could put that up there, Carrie, and I may close with this. How many of you think that would be a good time to close? Elisha was returning from being called by Elijah. And Elijah wouldn't tell him to follow him. Kept telling him to go back, go back, go back. And I used to think, why would you as a ministry head, which Elijah was, why would you tell somebody that wanted to help you, go back? Go back to where you came from. Kept telling that over and over again. Go back. And finally, I finally got a little picture of it. Listen, if Elisha followed Elijah only because Elijah said it, then when things got tough, it would be easy for him to back off. But if Elisha was following Elijah because God said to go with him, then when things got tough, he had God's word backing him up that he was going to see him through. And so I liked what Elisha did when he went back. Listen to what happened. 1 Kings 19 verse 21 says, so Elisha returned to his oxen and slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. He burned his livelihood. It's what he did for a living. And then he just took what part of it was. He took that big old oxen and they had a hamburger feed. Fed all the townspeople. Used the wood of the plow. I mean, he had nothing to go back to. He burned his bridges. He burned his ships. That's what a person's willing to do. By example, you and I both know that every day we have that choice. Every morning you wake up, good morning, Lord. What would you like for me to do today? And you take your orders from him. Most people would, if they knew how much God loved them and how much God would work with them, they would do that in a heartbeat. But the enemy keeps us downing sometimes. He said, well, if God's so good, then how come you're going through what you're going through? Well, I know this. I don't care what you're going through. God can help you get through it and get through it on the other side victoriously. And we always say, well, I don't think I've had all that much victory. But I'm telling you, today is the day to make those decisions. Not tomorrow, not yesterday. Yesterday's gone. But a new future awaits those who choose to live all in. Your future could change dramatically today if you choose to live all in. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2. At just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Salvation is more than just missing hell and going to heaven. The Bible tells us that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God. And God can take your situation and he can turn it for your good. I don't care what it is. Sometimes people think you come into the kingdom of God that we should not ever have any more problems. Well, there is an enemy and he's going to see to it that you do have some more problems. But you also have been given authority to keep him underfoot. It would be wrong for us to not be equipped by God to overcome an enemy that's already been defeated. So I defeated him, but you don't have any power over him. No, he defeated him so we would have authority over him. And I'm not going, if my old life is so good, why am I so messed up? Now there's a lot of us that could say, my old life is pretty good because I met Jesus. This last March, gave my heart to the Lord. Best decision I ever made. Have had any problems once in a while? Did God see me through them? God has never, hear me, God has never failed me. And he's not going to. And God will never fail you. All he's wanting you to do is just walk with him. Walk with him, love him. Psalm 84 verse 11 says, Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Isn't that good? For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. You may be asked to give up one thing. But he's got another good thing to take the place of that one. Amen. Aren't you glad you came? I'm glad you came. I'm sure the Lord's glad you came. But establish in the hearts of humankind, I really believe they're in us, is the desire to be loved and then the ability to love. God puts that in us. And if we can love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, our life will be forever better. Amen. And if I were to ask for a show of hands in here, and I'm not asking for that, and I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but my question to you today is, are you living all in for God? Or do you spend most of your day saying, Lord, I can take it from here? I kind of enjoy being the south end of a northbound mule. Nobody wants to be that way. But God has a way to live that's so far above what you've ever dreamed or imagined. And He'll make a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. And He'll bring the joy unspeakable and full of glory into your heart, stir you up just to be with Him on a more regular basis. And that relationship become even more intimate. Amen. How many, real show of hands, how many of you guys have been married for a while, love your wife even more now than when you married them or your spouse? There's a few that went, That's the way it is with God. You fall in love with God and you just keep on loving Him, it's going to increase. It won't decrease. Hallelujah. Or, if you're really having a bad week, hallelujah. And I say that tongue in cheek, but I'm telling you, the reason sometimes we have such bad weeks is because of the choices we make. But if you're having a bad week because you've just been attacked by the enemy, God has given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can just take authority over him and tell him to get where he belongs, out of your life. He doesn't have a right to be in your life. Did you know that? God bought for your territory, and you belong to God. So why not just give it up? All in. Stand with me. That was pretty good, wasn't it, Luke? Make you feel like you want to go more all in? Oh, boy. You have been. And for good reason, because you're listening to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray a prayer. And then if you agree with this prayer, when I'm done and say, in the name of Jesus, and then you tack in a amen, that just means that you're saying, I'm willing to be all in. And I'm saying so out loud, publicly. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for every person here today, every home, every family that's represented here today. I thank you for your heart to them. I thank you for the fact that you love them. You love them so much that you want them to have life, and that you want them to have it more abundantly in every area of their life. And Father, as they just put their hearts out before you right now, and you would just speak maybe one thing to them that they might choose to deal with, to lay it aside so that they could walk with you more intimately. Father, I'm asking not only speak to them, but speak to me. We all need to get closer to you. And we see in your word where you will not withdraw, you will not keep back one good thing from you that belongs to us. And so, Father, I pray for every person. I pray for their life. I bind the strong man in the name of Jesus Christ that would cause people to be somewhat intimidated to make a stand. Because when they make a stand of faith with you, you're the one that empowers them to do what they need to do. You'll not leave them helpless. You'll not leave them comfortless, but you'll be to them a strong and mighty God that you say you are. So, Father, I thank you that today we all say, Lord, we choose to be all in with you. We choose to receive your word and retain it and then begin to act upon it. We'll devote ourselves to you. We'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So God, I thank you that today, my prayer with them is that we agree together, that we're all in. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And if you agree with that, say, amen. And I want you to know, God hears your amen. And he doesn't take that lightly. And he's moving on your behalf. Amen. Father, thank you for loving these people. Thank you for embracing them with your goodness, your mercy. And thank you for, sir, for life abundant and clarity of thought in following you. And Lord, I speak the blessing of God upon every household represented here. I come against every destructive spirit that has tried to steal, kill, and or destroy. And I thank you that today is indeed the day of salvation for us. And we give you honor. We give you praise in that name which is above every name, that name Jesus. And if you agree with that, say amen. Amen and amen. Well, you are dismissed. Tell somebody you like them and have a good afternoon the rest of the day. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.